Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Yeah, appreciate y'all so much. Yeah, all right. Hey, well, we're blessed today because we have with us doctors. No, it's not doctor. Is it doctor? Okay. Oh, I was just going to upgrade him just a little bit. So, Scott, come on up here. Scott Weinkauf, did I get it right?
Yes.
All right, got it right. And since some of you have gotten to know him, but don't know much about him, so I said, "Hey, come and tell us what you do, then encourage us a little bit." And I think that's what he's got planned.
Yeah, amen.
So come on up. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. What an honor and privilege it is to be with the young adults today. And amen. Well, let's open up with prayer, and we'll get a little bit in the Word and share a little bit about who we are and go from there, okay? So, Father, we come before you, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we can say, we can declare that we love you because you first loved us, that we can declare that we are free because you liberated us, that we can declare that we're the head and not the tail, that we're above and not beneath because of what Jesus has done for us. And so, Father, may you be honored and glorified as we continue in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I've been a pastor for 18 years before we moved here, resigned the church there in Indiana, and usually when I would have a guest speaker, maybe I hadn't preached in a couple weeks, my announcements kept getting longer and longer and longer. But we're going to keep this to 20 minutes. I understand you're getting ready for lunch, and so I'm not going to keep you long. But wanted to share a little bit about Brent and I and our family. And I feel like God's put some words, given me some words for you to encourage you. And so I want to start with Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. And just kind of use this as a preface, and we'll talk about it later. But Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord." So you're looking, what's the most important thing in the law? And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And we'll get into that a little bit more as we go this morning. And so personal history a little bit. Brennan and I, we've been married 31 years. And Brennan wanted to make sure that you understood that she's only 40 years old. She wanted to make sure you understood that. We've been married 31 years, and I've been saved for 30. It was a year after we had gotten married that God got a hold of my heart, and 4 years later for Brenda, and saved us and turned our lives around and called us into ministry. We have three children. Melissa is going to be 30 next month, and she has our first granddaughter, so we're really excited about that, and her husband Graham. Graham's family, we're raised here in Texas, and so we're really excited to be here, and Melissa's been here for about 7 years. She actually moved out of the house when she was 18 to go to college in Missouri, which was 1,000 miles away from where we were, so we only saw her a few times a year since she's been 18, and so it's wonderful to be here with her. And then we have Nicole. Her and Adam live in Indiana still, where it's 18 degrees below zero today. And so I send them little pictures of my temperature gauge on my dash every once in a while, let them know what Texas is like. And they'll be moving here this spring, and so we're excited about that. And so 18 years, like I said, in pastoral ministry and had no idea that we would be transitioning at this point in our life, but feel God's direction. And I want to obey that with great anticipation and joy. And 6 years as a hospice chaplain while I was in ministry. And then we had the transition where we just felt the grandchild was the one that got us thinking and praying. And we thought, well, maybe we'll just visit more often to Texas. And it turns out that God had something else in store. And I remember we had been here to see Hadley, is her name, when she was first born. And I remember going back to the church office, my first Monday back in the office there in Indiana, and I had a one-way conversation with God and went something like this. I'm not moving. We're not going there. I'm going to spend the rest of my ministry right here in Indiana. That was our conversation. And I thought it was settled. And so I went in the office in the sanctuary for prayer that morning as I normally did. And when I hit the doors going out, I knew in my heart we were moving. And so it was about a 3 or 4 month turnaround. And we're here in Texas. And we're really excited to be here in Texas. We're excited to be at Vision Church. And let me just say, as a way of proclaiming this morning, great things are happening at Vision Church, and we're excited to be here. And so as a hospice chaplain, let me share with you quickly, it's a wonderful opportunity to be invited into someone's life at such an important time. I was sharing with someone earlier how our mortality has a way of getting our attention. And for a lot of people where they have no need for God, suddenly they have a great need for God, or at least some answers. And so it's a great opportunity and an honor to be invited into someone's life at that point in time to share with them all about Jesus Christ, if that opportunity arises, and usually it does. And I want to say, too, as we talk about, you know, being a chaplain in the arena of hospice, and I did bring some books back there on the air hockey table if you have any questions about, some more questions about hospice, but I believe with all my heart that healing is in the atonement of Christ. Can you say amen this morning? So Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. And I just want to say to you, I know you're getting ready for lunch, so the more amens I might hear, the faster I tend to go. So just want to keep that in mind. But the amen. And I've even been known to skip a few pages. I don't know how that works, but it happens. And so, but we meet people where they are as a chaplain. I'm not there to tell them their ideals are wrong or what they think is wrong. I'm there to meet them where they're at, and that's how Jesus met us. And Romans 5:8, we meet families where they are, the same way God met us. When we were at our worst, he sent his son to die for us. And then we trust, as a chaplain, we trust God to lead and guide and minister. You know, God has had me speak to people where I know the Holy Spirit is right there to speak into someone's heart, into their soul, when they can't even respond. They're non-responsive, but God is still ministering to them and getting them to a place of receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So it's an exciting thing. God knows exactly what they need, as he knows exactly what we need. We see that in Matthew 6:8. For our Father knows the things we have need of before we even ask him. You know, and there's times where I've come to minister as a chaplain. I've been rejected. I've been invited into a home and sent to the end of the house to be by myself with the patient because they were facing their mortality, but the family wanted nothing to do with it. But you know, as we go out in the world, I know Pastor Doug's been talking about the family business. And as we go out in the world, sometimes we can be rejected. But you know what? We're called to send the message, to give the message, and to plant the seed. And Jesus said in Luke 10, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And so it's not about us. We don't need to take it personally. And there's times when I've been well received. There's been times where instances where people have received the good news of Jesus Christ and there have watched them have a glorious sending home. Just an address change is all they had. And a glorious sending home. One man had the opportunity to have his whole family come in. Here he had not been eating for a long time and so he was very weak. And he just had that surge of energy, was able to invite his family to come in. He was eating like steak, and I'm like, man, this guy is really... things have changed around for him, and 2 days later, he went on to be with the Lord. And I remember another instance with being a chaplain where I was invited into a home about 7 p.m. at night, and the family had gathered, and we read Scripture, the 23rd Psalm and Psalm 91, and we read in Revelation about the kingdom of God, about heaven, and we sang some hymns, and it was the sweetest thing where, and she was responding to us as we were going through those things. It was the sweetest thing. She just breathed in and out. She and breathed out, and she was home. And it was just a remarkable thing. Amen. Do we need to answer that? Or no? Okay. We always told people to put your phone on vibrate, and if you start vibrating, we'll let you know that you have a call, and you need to answer it. Hospice, let me just share really quick about hospice, because a lot of times, and I've had the same hard attitude or I guess people's perception of a chaplain when we say, hey, would you like a chaplain visit? And typically they'll say, oh, I'm not ready for a chaplain yet. And what they combine that idea of a chaplain with death. And sometimes people do the same thing with hospice. They associate the word hospice with death when really it's all about life. Being a chaplain, being a sharer of the good news is all about life, and being hospice is all about life as well. And so just wanting to help people through that process, it just so happens that hospice comes in at a time when we're getting ready to go home. And it's interesting, too, because hospice is not a new thing. It was actually specialized care for dying patients by a physician by the name of Saunders, who began her work with the terminally ill in 1948. That's where it kind of began. And so it's just kind of picked up from there. And so, again, hospice is more about living than it is about dying. And you see that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, obviously, there's a season for everything that we're all going to experience. And God has appointed for everyone, for every man to experience death, right? And so here's a little bit about the practical side of hospice, and then we're going to get back into our scripture. And I want to encourage you a little bit this morning. And so, hospice care. How does someone go into that aspect of hospice care? Well, they receive from their doctor an order that he believes that he's done everything he can for that patient, and they have, with the best educated guess a doctor can give, 6 months or less to live. But God has the final say. Amen. And so we approach those things with that. But that's how they get into that arena of hospice care. It's covered through Medicare. And kind of the difficult thing is, you know, how Medicare can help you with your hospital visits and stuff. Well, Medicare won't help you with both. It's either got to be curative care or palliative care. And so there's a switching over of those things. And that's where hospice comes in. But you know the wonderful thing about hospice, I can tell you from my heart, we went through some really difficult things when my dad passed years and years ago. Had we known about hospice then, it would have been a tremendous thing, because really what hospice does is it frees you up as family just to love your family. You don't have to worry about some of the other things that go on with the patient during those times, especially the medical things. You get the nurse's visits right to your house. The aides come in, and the aides can do everything from washing your dishes to giving baths and stuff like that to your loved one. Chaplain visits and social workers are so important in letting you know all the things you have at your fingertips to help you and your family. And so those things are all important. And really wonderfully, I've seen people over the years discharged from hospice because they're doing better. And that's a wonderful thing. And I remember one time when we were in North Carolina, pastored in North Carolina for about 6.5 years. I was doing hospice there. And there was a woman that had been diagnosed, and I can't remember the type of cancer she was diagnosed with. And she went from being a vibrant, talking to her family, she was vibrant, she was probably in her late 40s, to just bedbound, wouldn't talk to anybody, just was really down in the dumps. And so she wasn't eating anymore or anything like that. And the next thing I know, she's dismissed off hospice. And I'm like, what in the world? What happened? And her family had expressed to us that she got the wrong diagnosis, or she got healed, one of the two. And so she got right back out of bed and continued on with life and lived a good long life. And so there's some wonderful things in that aspect. So the care they receive is always about living comfortably. It's just always at the end phase of one's life. And so you have professionals who know how to help patients as well as the families, because it's not just about the patients, it's about the family. So you've heard enough about me. The main thing you want to remember about me, everybody knows Brenda, right? Just remember that I'm Brenda's husband. That's the main thing you need to remember about me. And I think if I could share with you the most important thing for any of us is that we're children of God. And we can say, as we prayed earlier, that we can say that we love God because He first loved us. Let me encourage you this morning. I just feel like God's put some things in my heart for you. Again, Matthew 22, Jesus said to him, "You shall love your Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so let me just share with you, I've got like 50 points. Is that okay this morning? Is that all right? Maybe a few less. I want to make sure you're awake. Love God and love people enough to run the race, okay? Love God and love people enough to not give in and to not give up. Love God and love people enough to forgive. Love God and love people enough to ask, seek, and knock, trust, and obey, and to see the value in people. That's really what loving people is all about, is seeing value in them. You don't have to agree with them, but you got to see value in them. God saw enough value in them to send His Son. And so we want to see value in them. John 12:49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority." Jesus here is talking, and you see it in John 12:49, John 5:19. Jesus is basically saying, "I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only speak what I hear Him speaking." And when we talk about being active and running the race, it's not about being someone else. It's not trying to be like someone else. It's just being who God has divinely made you to be and just doing what He's told you to do. And, you know, we used to joke around about everyone's got different gifts and things like that. We had women in the church that they were such good cooks and they could bake such wonderful things. And they had a great ministry and a heart for hospitality. And you wouldn't want me baking those things. If you wanted me to make lunch, you might have Cheerios and maybe some toast with some butter. So the main thing is, you know, walking through those things, just being who God has created you to be. Because here's the thing, Mark 16, I want to give you some scripture because that's what we go by, right? That's our standard. So Mark 16:17-18, "While you're doing the things that God has called you to do, these things will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons." Amen. We are a Pentecostal church, right? Okay. So we want to make sure we're a Bible-believing church. "They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents." I haven't found the serpents yet. You guys keep the snakes anywhere local here, or no? You don't do that. But listen, you can go into arenas where things the enemy might have to harm you, and it's not going to harm you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Amen. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So let God use you. And I got four things I just want to quickly just give you. And encourage you, let God use you. And the first thing I want to say to you this morning is be at the right place at the right time. And the way that we do that is being led by God. Only doing it Jesus' way. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. And so only doing what the Father's doing and only speaking what He's telling you to speak, and you'll find yourself at the right place at the right time. And I'm thinking the thing that came in my heart when I was thinking about that was Simeon and Anna. And I think, Pastor Doug, you preached on that not too long ago. Could you imagine, you know, being only doing what God's leading you to do, and He's got you there maybe at the church all day long for years and years and years, and you're thinking, wow, you know, am I ever going to have any excitement? Well, there's all kinds of excitement when we follow what God is wanting us to do. And in this very case, we see where Joseph and Mary came in, and there Simeon and Anna were able to encourage and witness of God's gift to humanity. And so being at the right place at the right time, just doing what God had directed them to do, nothing special was going on. I mean, the sun came up, everything was going just like it was, but they were in the right place at the right time. And they were in the right place at the right time to give words of wisdom, to give words of knowledge, to share revelation that God had given them over the years. Able to encourage, and I want you to know how important your words are, no matter what your age is, that the words that keep one from quitting the race, words that give life, that speak promises, that confirms what God has already promised, that causes one to finish the race strong. And so be led by God so you'll be in the right place at the right time. And can I share something with you? Maybe you've heard it already, but you're needed. You are so important and so needed within the body. And so the second thing this morning is to be led by God that you may impact future generations. And I think of Genesis 12. You know your race isn't done yet, right? And so be impactful. And I think of Abram. And how would you like God just to say, hey, come follow me? And he's not going to tell you exactly where you're going. But I want to encourage you to let God lead you and guide you that you can impact future generations. Abraham, and you'll find that, you'll find it in Genesis 12 where I got this from if you want to look at it later. But Abram, at that point, called Abram, believed God. And the proof of that was that he trusted and obeyed even though he knew not where he was going. And his faith, his faith started a process that would lead God's people into the promised land. And so I want to encourage you this morning to walk out your faith, to seek God, to trust God, to obey God. By your willingness to follow God, you are certainly impacting future generations to receive the promises of God. Can I tell you, there was nothing more impactful in my life as a young preacher than to hear the seasoned preachers who had gone before us to tell their stories that would encourage me and inspire me and keep me in the place that God had designed for me. I want to tell you, your testimony, your obedience to God is so vital and so important to us. And the third thing this morning is be a witness. I only have this one and one other, so hang with me. But be a witness. Hebrews 11 says this, 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And I just want to say, do as God is leading you. It may be different than what he had you doing years ago. I know what he has us doing now is way different than what we were doing just months ago. But it's just as important. And again, we need you to do those things. Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that's been set before us. And so be that witness of God's faithfulness, of God's power, of his ability, of his love, of his guidance, of his goodness, and of his glory. Be led by God that your life would be a witness or bear witness of God and who he is. And the last thing that I would want to say, and probably the one I just have stirring in my heart the most for each and every one of you, is be mighty. Be mighty. In Numbers 13 and 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. And then we see that carried out in his life in Joshua chapter 15. In verse 14, Caleb drove out the three sons. So when he was 40, he was sent out to spy the land. When he was 85, he took it. I want to say, be mighty. Be mighty for the Lord. Run in the strength God has given to you. Never give up on the promise of God. God will complete what he started in you and through you and around you. Hold fast, Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast your confession of hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. If it takes 40 years, if it takes 10 years, whatever, however many years. I remember a testimony, a wonderful woman would always share with us. Her and her husband had been married over 60 years. And she said, the first 30 years, I tried to change him and get him in church. And she said, finally, I said, God, he's yours. You can have him. I don't know what to do with him. I can't change him, only you can. And her husband had me standing right there, and he said, you're right, it's going to take God to change me. Well, God gave him a dream that night, and the next Sunday he was in church kneeling at the altar. He had a dream of what hell was like. And I'm just sharing with you, it took 30 years for her to see the outcome of the stirring of her heart and of God's promise of family salvation. But it came. Amen. So we want to be mighty. We want to never give up. And so God is there. He's faithful. He who promised is faithful. Be mighty. Let me say this morning, too, being mighty, and I'm just about done here, Pastor Steve. Being mighty has nothing to do with social standing. Amen? Being mighty has nothing to do with tasks assigned or not assigned. being mighty has nothing to do with never being concerned or afraid. That's not what being mighty is about. Being mighty has everything to do with being one to stand up and sway the hearts of humanity to believe God, to trust Him, and to obey Him. To be the voice that says to the body, whatever it is that God is directing us to do, we can do it. Amen? Do you know that if Moses would have stayed at the burning bush, they never would have went into the promised land? Sometimes we want to stay where we're comfortable and we want to stay with what we're familiar with. But I want to tell you, hey, let me tell you, I thought this transition that we were in was going to be 20 years later. But when God says move, then we need to be the ones to stand up and be mighty and proclaim what He's doing and be obedient to those things. And I want to tell you, God wants to do some great and mighty things through you. And so we can do those things to be the one that holds on to the promise. And I want to just share this one last scripture with you, and then we'll close. But you know, when you think about reminding someone of the promise, do you know, like, Caleb had the promise stirring in him so much that when it came time to divide the promised land, he said, "Hey, Joshua, do you remember what God told us 40 years ago? I'm still here, and I'm ready to take that land." And that's what happens. It can change the whole dynamic of the situation if you'll choose to be that one, just that one voice to say, "I believe what God has said. I believe what God has promised. And we can do it because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength." Amen. Let me pray over you. Father, we just thank you for your word today. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would stir in our hearts the reality of who you are, the reality of the promises. And God, help us to not be fearful of change. And Lord, help us, Lord God, to be a part of what you're doing, the part of where you're leading. And Lord, help us to know that you have called us to be a peculiar people and you've called us to be mighty. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks for letting me share this morning.
Thanks so much, Scott. Appreciate that.